Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Before I bring her on, I just have a couple of announcements. Our YouTube punishment is up tomorrow, so we will be able to post there again, or at least what we decide is safe enough to go there. You can get all new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all popular podcast platforms. And definitely check us out on Rockfin. That's where you can get all our premium content. You can also get all our regular shows and all of the premium content from all the amazing creators on Rockfin. Also, we finally have our merch store up. Get your t-shirts, stickers, bags, all kinds of cool stuff. That link is in the description or fknstore.net. And finally, check out C60 Purple Power. It may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's made from the purest substances on the planet. It's completely turned around my health. It's actually helped our senior dog. It even shrunk her tumors. Just click the link in the description. You can get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She is an internationally renowned naturopathic doctor, energy healer, remote viewer, paranormal expert, and consciousness teacher. Finding she had a natural affinity with herbs, she worked as a herbalist and went on to create and distribute her own line of herbal organic products internationally. Driven by her inner knowing that her healing work could be made much quicker and more affordable and amplified exponentially using technology, she consulted with an esteemed neurosurgeon and realized that the healing frequencies in naturopathy could be applied to all areas of her clients' lives. Her latest groundbreaking program, Frequency Master, teaches how to master frequencies in your own life and trains other healers to use her own unique and successful methods. Dr. Kimberly, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I am wonderful, Chris. Thanks so much for having me back. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great to talk with you again. Last time we spoke, you shared such intriguing information about beings like Sasquatch that could possibly exist just beyond the spectrum of our vision and how they basically choose whether or not to be seen. I found that really interesting, and I've recently become much more interested in the Bigfoot phenomenon lately because really, it just seems like something's kind of pushing me in that direction a little more. As well as I'd like to take a closer look at the fae, or what some call fairies. I've done a couple of shows about this, but it's recently become a little bit more intriguing. It's been a little while since you've been on the show. I wonder if you could remind the audience how you got started on your path. You really realized you could tap into some of these abilities at a young age, right?
Yeah, like I say, fortunately and unfortunately, I just, you know, when we're really young, all we know is, you know, that inner world, we're very inner focused and we only know what we are. So we extrapolate that and project that out onto everybody else. You know, of course, everybody's like us. So I'll tell you a different slant than I think I went into last time. I might've covered it a little bit, but I'll go the nap route. When my mom used to put me down for naps, the ceiling used to open up and I would see, like, you might call it space or the void. And there would be all these doorways and they look like the Stargate, you know, the Stargates, and there were beings guarding them. And so I'd go play in space during nap time. And then my mom would come in and be like, why aren't you sleeping? And I have to, like, go whoomp back into my body. This is like when I was five. And so then I decided it would be a better idea. Listen to this. This is how clever I was at five, Chris. Thought it'd be a better idea to open the portals and then invite the beings into the house, so I didn't have to go out of body. So then these beings were like, some of them were really mischievous. They weren't evil, but they were mischievous. And my mom had all these expensive perfumes. And I remember one time when the human discarnates was like, hey, you see that perfume over there? Why don't you pour it all over your mom's dresser? And I'm just so stupid. I'm like, okay. So I would do like whatever these beings told me. I got in so much trouble and she thought it was like me. It really wasn't, mom. It wasn't me. So I like had kind of this relationship, you know, with weird things, you know, from very young. So that's the beginning anyway.
Now, when you say beings, you mentioned disincarnate, was it humans or different types of interdimensional beings?
You know, again, it's so hard, like what category do you have to put beings in, you know, when you're five. I just remember when you're five, you kind of accept, which is good and bad, I guess. That's how kids get pulled into vans with candy, right? But you kind of accept, you know, as people show up or entities or energy show up. So yeah, there were beautiful beings. Maybe I don't really believe in, I call them angels. I don't really believe in angels, but beings that other people would call like angels and like the Nordic type beings. And I don't think I really encountered a lot of, if they were dark beings, like you knew they were dark beings, like they looked dark. They had like the, you know, I always think of, what is that Christmas movie where like the Ghost of Christmas Past, Ebenezer Scrooge, like they had like the hoods. And
oh
the,
yeah, Scrooge, yeah.
How do you say that word? Is it a Sith or a Scythe? You know, that big.
I know what you're talking about. I think it's a Scythe. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when those beings showed up, I'm like, okay, bad, good. But I mean, that's kind of obvious. They were kind of sorted, obviously. So there wasn't a lot of in between. And then I just figured if someone showed up as human, I didn't know then that all sorts of things can be in this container. My favorite new phrase right now that I've just started teaching and saying is there's no such thing as humans. There are no humans on this planet whatsoever.
You're
you know?
Right. You're probably right there. Now, when was it that you had your first Sasquatch encounter? And, you know, when could you, did you realize you could, see these beings?
This is really, again, I guess I didn't change from being dumb when I was young to dumb when I was older, but I really didn't, like when I was really young, you know, I'd go to we had libraries. You guys might want to Google what a library is. Some of you know we had libraries back then.
Yeah.
And I would go in them, you know, the weird section. They had like a supernatural paranormal section. It was like a search and code. And, you know, they had books on Sasquatch and they had books on fairies and they had books on witches and the Loch Ness Monster and all of that. But I really didn't get into that because I was too busy. I was the pretty stereotypical 80s, 90s demon chaser. I was doing house clearings. I was doing exorcisms. I was doing occult crimes. I was pretty much into like the dark stuff. You know, I wasn't into like the fae. I wasn't into like, you know, going through the woods at night, you know, shining flashlights around, you know, looking for Bigfoot. So it really wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago, and that always shocks people. I was, you know, on YouTube and you start out watching, you know, a video about baby bunnies. And the next thing you know, you're watching Sasquatch videos. And right. So I'm watching all these videos and these people are like, did you hear that? Did you see that? Look over there. And I'm like, I see nothing. I hear nothing. What are you people talking about? And so I would just, but you get this feeling inside of you, like of hope. And I'm like, the next video, I'm going to see something. The next video, you keep watching. So I went through about 30 of those. And finally, I came upon this guy named Wayne Wilson. And he's in his backyard. And he's an ex-wrestler. You know that, what's that wrestling called? That WWE wrestling?
Yeah.
He's an ex-wrestler. And he's out there. And he's like, well, you know, over in their woods, do you see the female Sasquatch holding the baby? And I am like, oh, whoa, I'm going to have to stop watching Sasquatch videos because this guy's, you know, Looney Tunes over the bend. But I looked, Chris, and I'm like, somebody call the mental hospital because I see the female Sasquatch holding her baby. So me being me, I had no idea where Wayne the wrestler lived, but I get on the computer, I track him down. He lives 30 minutes away from me.
Wow.
What are the chances of that? You know, I always say there's no coincidences in the matrix. And so I call him up, only me. Can I come over to your house? And Wayne being Wayne and me being me, he's like, sure, come on down. So the second I went on his property, I just had the sight all of a sudden. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, of course I already had sight, but I seemed to already have this like affinity or relationship with these beings. They even all came out along the field, just rows and rows of them to greet me. Like they knew I was coming. It's the craziest thing, Chris. So that's what started it. Wayne and his videos.
Wow. That is so interesting. So you said when you arrived there, they immediately kind of came out to greet you. And I remember last time you said they can make themselves visible to those that they want to see, right?
Absolutely. I think it's like a knob on a, like a dial. They can, you know, and I was talking to my kids about this yesterday because I said, my Sasquatch have been more in the fur lately. So I feel like they can like lower their frequency and come more into a 3D density. So you can actually like see the fur. And then I think they can kind of turn up that dial and become more visible. As a matter of fact, I took this screen, you know, behind me. I took this right before we came on, and I can see creatures. There's a ton of creatures back there, some of them quite visible if you guys have the eyes. So if you might want to, and I'll even bop out of the way for your audience if they want to screenshot that. But you're laughing. I'm just so practical. I so want to help people to see. But if you guys screenshot that and blow it up, I bet you guys will see some things. And some of them are pretty in the fur. You should be able to see some ears, maybe, you know, some hands, some legs. Right before I got on with you, I have to tell you this. I was on the phone with my daughter. And she's like, what are you doing, Mom? I'm like, the Sasquatch are holding their babies out. I have to talk to them because I have four kids. And I'm like, you guys, beautiful babies, but I have plenty of kids. Thank you for showing me your kids. It's crazy. Like, I have this crazy relationship with them now.
That is super interesting. Now, whenever you first encountered them, did they have any type of communication with you? Was it like psychic communication or anything like that?
It's really weird because this is my knowing, and you guys might know something different, but we talk about telepathy, and we talk about before the Tower of Babel, Babel, however you guys say it, you know, they talk about confusing the languages, but in actuality, they didn't confuse the languages. They gave us language. Language is a very thick impediment for communication with all kinds of beings. Think about people in France. If you don't know French, it's hard to communicate if they don't speak English or whatever you guys speak. It's the same exact thing with these beings. They communicate how they do, I believe, in the multiverse, which is with a form of telepathy that's bigger than pictures. You can't explain it, but we seem to have it. It's more like, I feel like, almost like a frequency exchange, if that makes any sense. And because I'm so good at reading frequencies, it works. And I think they can communicate other ways. I don't know if people are making it up or not, but I know they have written to people. I haven't been able to record it, but they talk on my security cameras at night. I have heard them talk in a language that's not English.
Now, are these beings everywhere? Most people think that, you know, Sasquatch is mainly in forests or wooded areas. Where are these everywhere?
I have pictures of them in outside my restaurant windows, outside my car, inside my car, downtown Winston-Salem, which is a fairly good sized town. I believe I can go to anybody's office, anybody's restaurant, anybody's house, anybody's city, and take thousands of pictures of these beings. And I think we might be misidentifying them as Sasquatch. I think we tend to call everything Sasquatch and Dogman and fairies. You know, there's three things: fairies, Sasquatch, and Dogman.
Right. Now, do you think that they're just misunderstood, like just beings that exist beyond the spectrum of our vision? Not necessarily, you know, these hairy ape-like beings, but all different types of beings is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, exactly what you said. And in India, they have these books. I think they're called the Vedas. And they talk about hundreds, if not thousands, of interdimensionals, or we would maybe call them cryptos.
Now, whenever you say fae, what would be the distinction, starting out for people who don't really understand this deep of interaction with these beings, what would you say that the fae are?
A lot of people say fae equals fairy. When I use the word fae, and that's a great question, I'm including trolls, gnomes, pixies, fairies. And in North Carolina, we have what's called the little people, which seems to be a different, whole different race than fairies, if that makes sense.
That's very interesting. Now, when it comes to those other types of beings, you said that you've never really encountered any malevolent, like Sasquatch or Fae or anything like that, right?
I wouldn't say malevolent. Gosh, that's such a big word. You said it so well. I almost did it. But they're very mischievous. Like, I have pixies in my house, and almost all of you guys do too. Almost everybody, I believe, in the whole world that has a dwelling, even if it's a tent, pixies love, like house pixies or house fairies, they love to be in a dwelling. And they play two horrible tricks on me. They kind of stopped one. Every morning when I get up, they love to tilt my pictures So when I get up, and they won't even do all of them, they'll do like certain ones. So I know it's them. It's kind of like, and I leave stuff out for them. Like I leave little snacks and I leave little crystals and I leave little stones. And if I don't leave them out, I notice more of my pictures are like tilted than when I do gift them. And everybody says, don't gift these beings. Cause then when you stop, they get really mean. That's kind of true. They don't get mean, but they can get kind of demanding or mischievous. And then the other thing they do is I have these old fashioned toilet paper dispensers where it's not on the wall. It's like, you know, it's on like a stand, like a brass stand by the toilet, and they unwind it so that it's like this small. So you go reach for your toilet paper and you like fall over. That's their favorite thing to do to me.
Wow. Now I guess we have to talk about frequency now, because these beings, they exist, all the time, right all around us, but we just can't see them. So could you kind of explain how that works and how it works for you with seeing different frequencies?
Yeah, I think you have such a good grasp on it. Maybe I should interview you. You seem to totally get this, Chris. It's awesome to talk to someone. And like you said, I think you've talked to some other people, or maybe you have your own experiences, which I would be interested to hear. But so this is how it is. So we have these arguments. There's no, the 3D people that can't see or think they can't see, because everybody can see. I can teach everybody to see. That's a no-brainer. And we do that in live events, but the 3D people are like, you guys are crazy. There's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as Sasquatch. There's no such thing as this and that and blah, 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 like my parents. And then people like me are like, you dumb 3D people. I mean, there's all this world that you're missing. So we act like we're in this battle kind of coming, but really what we're doing, we're both right. So I can see what the 3D people can see. So we actually agree. They just have never experienced the other side. So I can lower my vision and just see 3D. As a matter of fact, I do that all the time. Otherwise, if I walked into a grocery store, I would be watching 70 million movies, every single detail of everybody's lives, and I never get my grocery shopping done. So I can become 3D and shut off that dimensional abilities, all my dimensional abilities. It doesn't mean they're right and I'm wrong. It just means they haven't experienced it. And there's so many people now, which is so exciting to me, Chris, and you know this is true too. You were just at a conference where I'm sure there were tons of people like this that want to see, you know, I want to believe kind of thing. And so that excites me, because if someone wants to see, I can teach you how to see.
That's really cool, because I, you know, I've had a couple of experiences in my life. I've never been able to see anything with my eyes. I've had a meditation experience where I've been able to communicate with a being other than it wasn't myself. It was something, a consciousness or an intelligent consciousness. It felt very loving and accepting, but I've never been able to actually physically see anything that I couldn't explain. How would you go about telling people who do want to, you know, experience this? Where should they start?
You know what's really cool about these beings? They're the kindest, most forgiving, most willing, most loving things I've ever encountered. I'm talking multi-dimensional race beings, not just one. And if you have the desire to see, start out by asking, you know, walk outside and say, if there's anything in my yard, I'd love to work with you, you know, to improve the energy of my home, to improve the energy of your environment. Is there anything you need? I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, and they don't, you don't have to say it out loud, but there's something. They appreciate that, because they know that most people don't talk like they do in a telepathy type of way or in a frequency language. So they appreciate that. They're like, wow, that person's lived there 30 years. They've never talked to us before. Let's show up. Like the other day I walked out, and alongside my, you know, smooth concrete, I had the most beautiful stones, 10 stones lined up in a row, all different beautiful, beautiful stones. I live at the base of a mountain, and there's, you know, you can dig for crystals and stuff, but they had pulled out the most beautiful crystals and lined them up for me. I mean, they will, I'm telling you, it is, you know, my girls are like, Mom, I don't know how you can live out in that creepy woods all alone. I'm like, honey, don't worry about Mom. I have more friends out here than I've ever had when I lived in a neighborhood, you know? I mean, it's just so interesting. And I learn about like all these different beings and groups, you know, every day. I learn so much.
Now, I can see how some people may be a little nervous about interacting with these beings, because even you said that they can be mischievous, maybe even get a little offended if you don't, give them rewards or whatever you were talking about. Could you explain how, they can basically not be afraid of these beings and what their true nature is?
I think it's... the perspective. So we could kind of relate this to people, the world's crazy and there's robberies and there's murders and there's kidnappings and there's carjackings and there's, angry people and people on drugs, and we can go on and on, even talking about people. It's the same thing with these beings. If you go out of your house and go anywhere, it's no different than starting a relationship with these beings. You're rolling the dice, really, when you walk in a grocery store. When you walk in a movie theater, when you walk in a mall, when you walk down the street, you don't know, it's the same thing. So when you open up this door, do it with caution, do it wisely. But there's no reason to fear, because actually, and then we get into all this other craziness, we've been memory wiped. We're all infinite expressions of consciousness. They're expressions of consciousness. We kind of all eventually, if you go way, way back, kind of come from the same place. We probably played with these beings in other realms, in other timelines, in parallel timelines, in other realities, in other planets. If you had your full memory, some of you know, and I know there's people in your audience, I don't know who I'm talking to, like I can feel it in your audience. Some of you know you have a relationship with these beings. You've had childhood experiences that you've forgotten. Some of you were lucky enough, like I was, to run the woods and you interacted with these beings, like in this body, in memory. You've just forgotten, or it's been memory wiped, or you've chosen to believe that that was your imagination. Even the imaginary friend thing, we know 99.9% of the time are these beings, not always human discarnates, not always angels or whatever, or demons, but sometimes they're the fae, sometimes they're the pixies. Sometimes there's other races from other planets. They're not, and that's where we muddy the waters so much in all of these fields, in healthcare and in paranormal and in all these fields. It's individual. Every fairy is individual and has an individual personality. Every Sasquatch, we lump them all together. Sasquatch and Bigfoot are like this. Dogman's like this. It's not like that at all. It's like saying Chris is like every other radio talk show host. That's not true.
Right. Now, when it comes to what beings could be malevolent, would you say that there are any that you would have to, take a caution with, like reptilian beings or something along those lines?
Oh, absolutely. But even in those, and this goes back again, we're not really talking about this, but I think that as we awaken and remember who we have chosen to be in big blocks of time, in previous lives, some of us are zillions and trillions of years old, some of us are thousands of years old, we all have different ages of the soul. But we have chosen to be so many things. And many of us that would watch your program or, be interested in things like this are some of the oldest beings on the planet. And we are, Chris, we are so powerful. The cabal, whatever you want to call it, the Draco, the Interplanetary Council, whoever you want to say rules this reality or is the ultimate, in charge of this reality, the corporations, on and on, whoever you guys think the bad guys are. They're so afraid that we're going to remember who we are. It's not even a collective thing. They're not so afraid that we're all going to wake up. That's very general, if you think about it. They're afraid that you, Chris, are going to remember specifically all the villains that you were and all the heroes that you were and your superpowers and the core essence of strength and magic that you can possess and access now to create your own reality and then contribute to the collective to turn it around. They are deathly afraid. And that's why we get into the subject of things like, which I'm sure you've covered, targeted individuals.
Yes, definitely. Do you see that this is something that's occurring now on a global scale, more people having this realization and kind of remembrance of who they are?
I think it starts with an excited hope that maybe you are more, you know, a lot of the soul regressions, I think, are BS. And we could go into why, talk about malevolent beings. A lot of malevolent beings come in with a lot of BS through soul regressions, but there's also some genuine power and hope that comes in through a really wisely done, you know, soul regression or hypnotic session. And I think as we write that down and we really hold on to it, because everything in this world is programmed to design daily and hourly, not just with the time resets from the multiple CERNs and the time stops and the time rewinds. I mean, it gets so messy, but everything else, I'm talking about daily life. I'm talking about your romantic partner. I'm talking about paying the bills. I'm talking about making breakfast. Like, we forget that some of us were, and I'm saying it small g, some of us literally on this planet today were the gods. Hello. If you knew you were Hercules, Chris, would you live your life differently? Seriously, if you really believe that and had the memory of it and embodied that, you would make every decision differently.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so, yeah. And I can see why that would be terrifying to these powers in control. Now, speaking of the powers in control and misdirection and everything else that's going on, nonsense behind the scenes, I'd like to get your thoughts on this kind of strange disclosure movement that's coming out of our mainstream media and our government. I don't trust it for one second. They are trying to paint this as a threat, I believe. And some of the other agendas behind it are very strange. And the timing that they're coming out with this is even stranger. I'd like to get your thoughts on what do you think is behind this?
I think it's a misdirection. I think you use that word. I think it's, you know, like what we do with our kids. They're like, mommy, I want to go to the water park. And we're like, would you like a cherry sucker? And they're like, sure. And they run off and play and they're done with the water park. Again, I'm going to go back to what I just said. They don't want us to remember that they've been taking us at night. They don't want us to remember that they MK-Ultra'd us. They don't want us to remember that they've cloned us and they've cloned our children. They don't want us to know about the tunnels and the trams and the jump rooms in every single Hilton and Marriott hotel. They don't want us to know that stuff. So they're giving us a cherry sucker. That's what I think is going to happen. They're like, oh, there's pretty little ships in the skies. And there may be, I think it's just going to be a bunch of BS. Although, and I don't know if you've heard this, I heard, and this is too good to be true, I heard they're going to release all the Kruger files this year, which, you know, that ties into the super soldier program, and that will blow the lid off all the my labs and all the night stuff if they did. Except I also think if they're going to release the Kruger files, they're going to hand me my file. I'm going to open it up and it's going to be black, 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 black. Yeah, here's your file. Black, black, black. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's just a lot of, here's what I think is happening. And you alluded to it. I know I have specific memories now, Chris, of who I've been in the past, even though, you know, we know all time is now, but who I've chosen to be. They know I'll never go back. They know they can never put me in all the downtrodden under the foot places because I know who I am. And I think more and more people, and they're like, okay, so the cat's out of the bag. We're not going to get all the cats back in the bag, but let's entertain the cats that have gotten out. That's kind of what I think they're doing, you know?
Yeah, and you said that you may have been involved in some sort of MK Ultra programs yourself.
Yeah, so I've had people, let's call them handlers, that have recognized me and come to me, and it's actually really traumatizing. I actually had a really traumatizing experience yesterday that I got too much memory, and it was too much, and it's really hard to process in your body when you have really, really horrible memories, because which I was in one of the older MKUltra, they got nicer as they got better technology, so they didn't do as much torture. Look at your face when I say that. What is that guy's name? You know who I'm talking about, Jason Bourne?
Yes.
He has a lot of MKUltra torture in a lot of his movies. They don't really maybe bill it directly as MKUltra torture. You know, but a lot of what they do to him, they actually do to the older, you know, I'm a little older. And, you know, like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, MKUltra was really bad. And with my technology, fortunately, we're able to identify the people that were in these programs. And I'll give you an example. So one of the things that I have, which is an unreasonable fear, because there's nothing that ever happened in my waking life to have this phobia. I'm not saying anybody likes dead bodies, but I have this like my dog brought this tiny little animal that he killed into the house. And I barricaded me and my other dogs in the room. And I called my dad and I said, "Dad, until you get here, I'm never coming out of this room. Like, I can't handle dead things. Like, I have this, do you know what I mean? Like terror. I can't even explain it, Chris. Like, I'm going to die type terror." So come to find out, talking to one of my lovely people that knew me in the programs, actually one of the people I was in the programs with, do you know who Octellus is? He and I were really, okay. No. You should look him up. Some of your audience members will know who he is. He and I were in some of the same programs together, but, so a lot of these people in the movement that have been coming out, I actually know, and they recognize me and they helped awaken my memory. But, what I found out was what they did was make me sleep as a young child in this body. I'm not talking about an altar. I'm not talking about consciousness transfer. I'm talking about me in this body. They made me sleep in like coffins with dead people and stuff. I think that would develop an abject terror of anything dead. And as a matter of fact, it kept me from being a medical doctor.
Wow.
Because I couldn't do anatomy. I couldn't do the cadavers.
Now, it seems that for these programs, they seem to target people with enhanced abilities, or, you know, people that at least realize they have enhanced abilities at a young age, right?
I believe they have the metagene. I believe they actually built us. Project, I think it's Surrogate. They actually place us with handler families to prevent us from remembering the very things that I'm remembering and other people are remembering, so that we can't destroy their little horrible world and turn it around into like a 4D, 5D type of thing, because we are so able not just to create our micro reality, but we're able, just a few of us together, you know, like superheroes, Chris, like the Marvel comics. If we come together as a team, we could quickly, you know, together with our gifts combined, create a very cool new reality for everyone.
Yeah, that is really interesting, because I've had a few guests on that have you know, had claims that they were in these programs, and some of them involved horrific things. Some of them involved like classroom-like settings.
Right.
What were some of the other things that you kind of remember being involved with?
Well, I was they call us Montauk boys or Montauk girls. I was Montauk girl. So I was trained in the trip chair. I'm very involved with Project Looking Glass. Actually, I had a man who was an exceptional intuitive 15 years ago, before I even had memories and people identified me being in these programs. He got on the phone with me and he said, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." I'm like, "What?" And he said, "You can read the looking glass." I didn't even know what that meant, Chris. I had to look that up. Isn't that crazy? But you know how we can identify that? That's how my technology can identify all this stuff in people. He can read it in my field. It's in your field. It's a frequency.
When did you start to remember and realize that you were in some of these programs?
Really, and I say recently, within the last 5 years, I think it's what you're talking about, Chris, this movement of truth, this movement of disclosure, this movement of awakening. I do think we're being assisted, and I don't know who's doing this. Maybe you have this info. Maybe you can fill me in. But the Schumann resonance, what I call whiteouts, I believe we're being assisted by these high flashes of frequency that are very purifying. They kind of bring up our darkness. I think they bring up our frequency. I think they detoxify our physical bodies. I think they turn on our psychic abilities. I know that the frequency net around the planet is down, and now that these positive frequencies, I think, can get in. And I actually think that's a lot of it. I think that's an oversimplification to say that's all of it. But I think we are being assisted frequency-wise from the outside.
That would be very interesting to find out exactly what it is. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that.
Dang, Chris!
No, but I do want to get back a little bit to cryptozoology, because you have a habitation site, isn't that right?
Yeah, like I said, those of you that have the eye will clearly see, if you look at behind me, but actually, had two homes for a while, and both of them were habitation sites. And one was a haunted house. So with portals, it was very interesting. I had little creatures that would look through the blinds. We would get video of these things. It was really, I thought it was really cool. Some people wouldn't think it was so cool. Maybe the people that live there now don't think it's so cool. I actually have a video on YouTube where I have thousands of orbs and they love to go in my car and hang out, and the cryptos are in my car and in my garage. It's really wild. But yeah, but now I have, I live at the base of a quartz mountain. So you can imagine the reception there and the portals. And we have a lot of different types of cryptos on this. We have a, it looks like a saber-toothed tiger, like a giant ancient cat that comes by. And I have pictures of paw prints. And there's no tigers around here, unless there's a tiger that escaped from one of those weird Jungle Joe places. I don't think there's like tigers with like huge footprints. So we have all kinds of beings that, sorry, those are my dogs, not Sasquatch, but there's all sorts of beings that kind of come through, I think, and keep going. And then we have those that live here. Not in this view of my house, this is the back of my house, but in the front where I take the dogs out, there's this little family, that's who was holding up their baby. So they are starting to come closer and closer and closer the more I live here. And I have a picture, I don't know if Michelle sent it to you, but I have a picture that I took. And I can feel their frequency. So I just feel something and then I shoot it and it's always there because it called me by frequency. I have a picture of this detailed monkey. I'm putting this in quotes, huge monkey sitting in a tree. It is clear as day. There is nobody that could say it's pareidolia. Nobody. They would say you have a monkey in your tree, but I don't have a monkey in my tree.
Wow. It was, how big was this thing?
4 or 5 feet tall, but it definitely not like Bigfoot looking. It looks like a chimpanzee hanging out in a pine tree in North Carolina. You know, it's such a juxtaposition. It's so odd, but I just, as you see, that's what's so cool about multidimensional and seeing the upper dimensions. And by the way, believe me, you guys, I don't see the 18th dimension. You know, I probably only go up barely to, you know, 4 or 5. There's infinite dimensions to see. They all dimensions sit, however many dimensions there are, and maybe there's infinite, they sit over each other on the head of a pin. So what changes? There's only one thing that changes if you can dimensionally see or not. It's you. You have to change. The first step to seeing interdimensionally is having a desire to.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone the other day who was saying, you know, we have an infinite reality on both the macro and the micro scale, and it never ends, and there could be beings on every level of that.
Yep.
That's a super amazing thought. You mentioned orbs earlier. What are orbs? I mean, are those just intelligence consciousness?
What a debate. You had to ask that question. Oh my gosh. You know, I don't know if you do. I assume you know, that's a huge in the paranormal field. Yes. That's a big debate and a big, people get real heated about that. I'm going to tell you what I think they are. I think they are no different than any UFO. I think they're what we would call a UFO. I think they're a encapsulation, a way that they get between dimensions or move from place to place in a dimension, whether it's 3D or 4D, 5D, whatever, coming from their planet, our planet. Because when you blow them up, there's different beings in them. Sometimes you'll see human faces, you'll see fairy faces, you'll see squatch-like faces, you'll see animal faces, even like people talk about what happens, you know, if their pets go on, you'll see cat faces, you'll see dog faces, you'll see lion faces. The key to, so, you know, out of those thousands of orbs, could they all have been, you know, human discarnates? Maybe. But maybe they were all ETs from the Palladians, or maybe they were from a planet we don't know the name, or maybe they were a group of fairies. So I think we're very presumptuous in orbs are always this, because if you blow them up, I found the key to dimensional learning is blowing everything up, because we have these great cameras and your eyes, of course, are always capable of dimensional seeing, and your camera actually reflects. This is interesting too, Chris. People, I might have mentioned this before, people think their phones and their video cameras do the work and then they see. No, your camera will never, ever, ever record or take a picture of something that you can't see with your eyes with no camera. So if you're getting good pictures, you guys, whether it's in a paranormal investigation of ghosts or demons or whatever, or if you're in the woods and you're getting good pictures of things, then you have the ability to put down your camera and start to see.
That's very interesting. Now, when it comes to being able to, you know, pick up these frequencies, you have a program called Frequency Master. Could you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Sure. That's actually the name of a class that I did. I have two apps, and they both basically work as a scanner, Energy Mastered and Energy Remastered. And the one is like an RN chakra app, and then it's color therapy. So you kind of need to be into the aura chakra thing. But the other one is more of an advanced clinical app that you can solve, well, not just you, me, or, you know, once you learn how to use it, and depending on your knowledge base and why you have the app, there is nothing in any reality, any dimension, any place that cannot be scanned and known by this app. And I did a little mini scan for you to kind of give you an idea of the variety of, you know, it's mental, emotional, spiritual, it's programming, it's your shadow. I mean, I have so many shadow panels that aren't nice, like belief systems. Like one that comes up on almost everybody is, it's safe to be sick. Isn't that interesting? The programming that we're under, you know, but who wants to I always joke with my daughter. I'm like, this app, it's always wrong. But actually, the way I use my app, an app is AI. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but daemons run all our computers. Daemons run all our phones. And there's a program you can look up on YouTube to find out how many daemons are like actually running, because there's different amounts. So like you and I could have the exact same computer, the exact same nearby, on the exact same day from the exact same store. And I could have 7 daemons running mine, and you might have 3 daemons running yours. Isn't that interesting? So
now when you say daemon, like, what exactly are you referring to?
It actually says this in the back, you and the computer people can back me up, but it's D-A-E-M-O-N.
Right. Yes, I've heard that term.
But yes, it's an entity. And no, are there demons? Maybe if you call them that, but are they really demons? Maybe, maybe not. But it is an sentient living, this is what they don't tell us, sentient living beings run these programs. As a matter of fact, you know, when you get in, you know, like a Siri or whatever that thing is called, that's the name of a entity. So Siri isn't just the name of a computer program. Siri is the name. Don't you love having me on your show? I open up a can of worms and another can of worms.
No, I've heard things like this before, so it's really interesting to me.
Yeah, Siri, all of them. Google is actually an actual sentient entity. So when you're interacting with these beings, we encourage limited interaction, because we're like, why are we under programming? Why is my aura so dark? Why am I so depressed? Well, you can't have it all ways. Like, yes, technology can be wonderful, and there's many aspects of AI and technology that we use to help and heal people. But also when you're interacting with the cabal entities that serve the darker forces and the darker agendas, you can't have it both ways. You know, it's called selling your soul to an extent. You know, I want everything Google can give me, but right, stay out of my house. You know, don't come in my room at night. You know, we want it always. And we have to start learning the back end of how this unreal reality really runs. Then we can make better choices. And then we can have cleaner houses, cleaner fields. Then they don't have as much control. Then their energy weapons, their EMF, their mind wiping, it doesn't stick, their nanotechnology. I keep trying to get keys. Dang it. I can't get a key to stick to me. I can't get a horseshoe to stick to me. I can't get anything. I'm disappointed. But you know why? I get all that stuff out of me. You know, I don't have all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure I have some. We all have some. I definitely have implants that have been x-rayed, but I don't have keys and stuff sticking to me. Do you? Have you tried that?
No, I haven't, but I don't know. Maybe I should. Maybe I should see if anything sticks to me.
Yeah.
But would you say that there's a danger of having entity attachments because of these daemons or entities that are associated with technology?
I think that's one doorway. You know, I'm not religious at all, but anymore, I should say. But I am super, you know, spiritual, and I do still work with people. And actually, I love that topic. We could do a whole show on it, but the prevalence of entities in people's fields, including mine, including my kids, including my clients, is so much bigger than we think. Again, it goes back to that dimensional seen, unseen world. When you can't see it and you can't feel it, you can't deal with it. You walk home from the grocery store and you may have eight riders on you. Now, when we say entities, entities to me are not a big deal. Entities are not dark forces, to be clear. You know, entities are not, you know, lurkers, you know, evil human discarnates, you know, standing in your corner, or weird little creepy black eyed kids. That's not what I call an entity. An entity to me is just an opportunist, kind of a vampiric opportunist. It might be an opportunist because it likes people. It might love your house. It might love your pets. It might love how you smell. It might love how long your hair is. As a matter of fact, if you want to start to see entities, which look a lot like furry little creatures, which some people might call Sasquatch, but we know they're not Sasquatch. They love the hair. So take a picture, especially women with long hair, the longer the hair, men with long hair or curly hair, take a picture, blow it up and look for eyes and ears, and you will freak yourself out, because a lot of people, if you don't keep yourself clean, if you don't know they're there, they'll see them. So yeah, that's a good way to start seeing entities, is look at your hair.
Wow, that's really interesting. Now, whenever it comes to if people are interested in increasing their own psychic abilities and possibly even having a relationship with these paranormal beings like you talk about, what would be you know, some good first steps to take? I mean, I'm sure that your own health and wellness has a lot to do with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Secret to Everything, a long time ago, I decided there were things that were keeping people from themselves, from the glory, I call it the glory of yourself, or the fullness of yourself. And some of those things are not a purification thing. So you have a lot of darkness in you. You have a lot of a guilt in you. You have a lot of anger in you. You have a lot of repressed emotions in you. You have a lot of accumulated trauma. And why? Here's a good question that I'll throw out to everyone. I mean, I think I know the answer, but why does everyone continually test for their nervous system screaming on, their adrenals are fried, and this immense amount of accumulated trauma? Most people actually haven't that traumatic, you know, to have all these weird like things going on, their lives really aren't that stressful or traumatic to have this like emergency siren kind of going off in their field. And so I believe that's the stuff that's happening at night, that we're waking up traumatized, we're waking up tired, we're waking up exhausted, we're waking up with bruises, we're waking up with needle marks, we're waking up with drugs that we have to fight off till 3 in the afternoon. As a matter of fact, if you guys want to know if you're being taken, go on Amazon and get a comprehensive under $30 drug panel where they test for MDMA, they test for cocaine, they test for heroin, do a urinalysis, you'll fall over on the floor. I mean, to
wow,
actually
see urine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard when you're looking at the results and you're seeing ecstasy and you know you're not on ecstasy and you didn't go anywhere, you think, you know, it's pretty jarring. So I'm all about proof. You know, I'm woo-woo as they come, but I want to prove the woo-woo. And I look for ways to debunk my own knowing and my own suspicion. I don't just even accept, you know, I might have a hand mark bruise on my arm, but you know, I'm going to take a urinalysis. I'm going to look further. I'm going to look for needle marks. I'm going to, you know, my girls are like, well, you sleep with your dogs. I'm like, I've never seen dogs like do hand marks, but you know, maybe it's possible. You know, but we just discount so much and we don't think it matters. But so we need to clear the field and become as, you know, get rid of all that stuff. So if you knew you were being traumatized every night, you might wake up and put essential oils on. You might play some nice music. You might eat healthier. You might go get that massage that you put off. You might go hike into the woods and sit for an hour. If you knew you're highly traumatized and you're in PTSD, you might live your life differently. So I think that's very useful to know. Another thing we talk about, expansion. How do you expand? You expand by exposing yourself to shows like this. You expand by reading things you don't believe. You expand by, and I'm always willing, people don't believe this, but I've changed my mind a million times. I used to be a born again Christian. I'm not religious now. That's a pretty big change of mind, you know, so I'm open to change. And if I experience something, I change my mind back. I don't have a hang-up of changing my mind with new information. That's how we expand our fields. And then raising your frequency. What do you have in your home? How much junk from your brothers, sisters, grandmothers, cousins do you have that has its own energy that probably is haunted? How much mold do you have in your house? How much junk do you have in your house? How much stuff that you don't use do you have in your house? What colors are in your house? How clean is your house? I mean, everything matters. We say in my family, we have a joke, everything matters and nothing matters. Why do we say that? Because universe means song of one. You have the ability within the craziness to create the most amazing, as you said, Chris, microverse, universe, song of one. So you get to decide what water you drink or how much water you drink. Everyone tests dehydrated too. That's another way. If you want to raise your frequency, stop making the excuses of why. Do you not think that's a program? Have you not heard some? I've heard so many people, I don't like water. I can't drink water. I have to put stuff in water. I can't find purified water. I mean, if you bring up drinking water, you will get the most pushback of anything else you've ever heard.
Oh, I love
but
water.
Water conducts frequency, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are just sense. Some things to think about, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's very well said. Now, for the last few minutes we have, I know you've done some remote viewing along with paranormal investigations. What are some of the most like profound remote viewing sessions that you've been a part of or that you viewed?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to tell you the most profound. It's the children. I'm getting chills. It's the children. It's the cases where the grandparents and the parents call me and they're like, my little boy, my 8-year-old, my autistic, my handicap, my daughter, my son, my baby, and that's how I first, even see if I'm going to take the case. I go there. I actually leave my body, go there. I kind of have a weird OBE remote viewing style, I guess. And I see if I think I can help. So one of my best cases, I actually have video of this. I'd be happy to share sometime, but was a baby, a 1-year-old baby who was standing up in his crib and having full on baby conversations with a dark entity on the nursery camera. Terrified, like I'm getting chills, terrified the family. And so I remote viewed that to know, so I knew what was going on. And I'm like, I got this. I know what's going on. There was a big portal open in the floor. I'm not going to name the town, but there's tunnels under the town. There were sacrifices in the town on top of this mountain. There's just a bunch of stuff. The family was basically the prominent family in the town. So it was like, bing, 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 bing. Totally a dark force situation with one of the, we could call it a demon or a dark force entity, that owned the town. And what we don't understand, see, what we don't understand hurts us. So even right now, all over the world, there's ley lines that are held by light forces. There's ley lines that are held by dark forces. There's towns that are held by light forces. There's towns that are held by dark forces. And some of these dark force energies and entities have a right to be there. They've been given permission by people that own land and had authority and, contract. So this whole world and the multiverse runs on contract law. And when you guys get out of here, you'll find that out. So everything's run on contract law. And you'll find it out in the reset, quantum reset too, coming.
That's very interesting. And it links back to a lot of this occult ritualistic aspects to so many things that happen in our reality to where it's all contractual on this spiritual level, which is very interesting.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that that's a good direction for more people to start looking instead of, all the surface stuff that's going on right now, it's easy to get lost in that. And if we looked a little bit deeper, we could, figure out a little bit more of what's going on behind the scenes.
That's right. That's right. So I like to use my remote viewing, just see if I could help people before I help them. In some cases, I actually go there. In most cases, I can handle it. And again, people are like, how can you do that? You have magical. No, I'm telling you guys. The reason I can do it as well as I can do it now is because I know who I am. You guys need to remember details, not details of past lives. Like, I was a stagecoach driver for the Pony Express. That's not going to do you any good. That's not what I mean. I mean the essence, details of the essence of who you are and how you use that in powerful ways throughout millions of years. Once you remember that, nobody's got anything on you ever again. And you can start practicing using those skills now, which is where I'm at. It makes life very fun and amazing. And I'm very happy to also be able to help lovely people that are also willing to go there with me, you know, and help them.
Well, that's awesome. And speaking of, before you head out, Dr. Kimberly, let everyone know if they want to find out more about your work, get in touch with you, anything of that nature, social media, let them know.
Yeah, so basically just secrettoeverything.com. We have a contact form, you know, Kimberly McGeorge, secrettoeverything.com, YouTube, Serene Wellness on Twitter, Secret to Everything. I think you guys are hearing the theme. Secret to Everything on Facebook, Secret to Everything on Instagram. I got off TikTok because I got freaked out by all that weirdness, but I'm like, you know,
I never got onto TikTok, so I'm not really sure what that's all about.
Yeah, I'm just so video oriented, and I don't have time to talking to the Sasquatch.
Hey, so, it's probably more interesting than talking with most people. Yeah, so
I just want to say, you guys, Chris is such a dear soul. You're so lucky to have him. He is such a gifted interviewer. He has such a wonderful presence. I just want to say thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll pay you later for saying that.
I wonder what we agreed on.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kimberly. Always great talking with you. And I'd love to talk with you again in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. See you again soon.